were back, of course, after we were talking, we were yapping away there during the break. And of course, if you just joined us, we have Tommy Smith in studio, and he's a Finglas local, and we were talking about medics. But now we're going to get on to all sorts of other business subjects now at the moment. Now, normally this is the 12th in the series. In my mother's and father's time, well, it could be grandmother's and grandfather's time. And like society as we know it today, it would be unthinkable in your mother and father's time. They think you were talking about something like Flash Gordon and the future, or Back to the Future at that time. There was no such thing as mobile phones.
No, that's true.
And there was no such thing as televisions.
That's true.
But there was always a radio.
That's right.
Radio wearing.
That's right.
And, you know, the big thing. But that didn't actually run from round the clock either.
No.
But it was always the match on Sunday. And if you were a GAA fan, that was it. You'd be hearing Michael O'Hare talking about some team down in Tipperary.
That's right. And dear Frankie.
And of course, lots of people from Dublin may never have been in Tipperary
at that time.
They mightn't have been able to afford the fare on the train.
Yeah.
There was no sitting in free bus passes then.
No, that's a fact, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to make do. And of course, it might have been the tram.
That's right.
Clangety clang.
Yeah.
Which ran frequently and on time, but only went from one place to another place, and that
right,
was it.
Right, yeah.
And in your mother's and father's time, normally the families were, I won't say large, I'd say some of them were huge.
There was big families,
Yeah, big families. Yeah. Well. That meant it depended what position your father had. Your mother didn't work. Well, she didn't get paid.
Well, yeah.
She worked all right for 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, I think the state, you know, this state never looked after women, and they were very, very poor towards women, I think, you know. Like, you go back to 1916, even women weren't recognised, you know.
Oh, but, yeah.
And still, up to the time when I was a child.
They didn't get the vote until 18.
That's unbelievable.
And then you had to be over 30 years of age, and then you had to own property. So that ruled out.
Yeah, and they were always put on the back boiler, and, like, you know, and they still have problems, you know. Like, my mother was born in 1913 during the lockout. And like, we moved out to Finglas in 51-52.
Yeah, up the hill.
Yeah, all came out from the tenements.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was that they didn't all know each other, but there was a lot of country people as well moved in out to Finglas at the time. But the women sort of knew each other, and the women were prominent. The women were king, because the men were all either working in England, or they were never in the home
looking for work.
That's so the mother was the main person in the house with the children and with the whole business. And still, like, you know, I just feel very strong about all that even now, that they didn't treat women very well, even in the workplace. Like when we moved out of Finglas first, there was no heating. There was no heating in the house. The only thing was the fur.
Oh, the fur,
And we used to, sometimes they burn shoes on the fur to get, you know, to get a bit of heat, because old shoes or
and
they
anything
couldn't afford the coal or whatever. And there'd be no lino on the floor. And you lived in the front room, because all you had was a tiny little kitchen. And you're seeing families being evicted. Furniture or whatever bits of furniture had been put out in the front garden, because they couldn't pay the rent, and the corporation would come along at the time, and they actually throw the furniture out the window, the top window. I seen that happening, you know, and all that was going on. And when my dad died, he died in 1961, we were all very small, and my mother had to go out to work, and she went into a place called Williams and Woods, is down there in Parnell Street. And she worked very, very hard. But they never got recognised for anything that they'd done. You know what I mean? And, like, when we moved out there, there was no shops. there was very, very few. There was a tiny little village, a shop, and then the women had to go into town. And I remember going into town with my mother and our friend, and they used to do their shopping in Moore Street.
Mm.
And they go into Finlayers. The Finlayers would be there in the corner. That's where they do all their shopping. And then what they do is they'd hop into Mars and Moore Street for a glass of Guinness.
Mm.
And you'd be put sitting down and you'd get a glass of lemonade and a big cream cracker and cheese. And we told you just sit there.
That was your treat.
That was their treat, yeah. And they'd carry all the shopping home.
Yeah.
And they did everything, like, you know, and like when you look back on it now, like when we were kids on the street, there was hundreds of kids, hundreds of kids. And you had all these games they were playing with football and you'd kick the can.
And
kick, yeah. And
oh, well, that was the girls usually
playing. The girls used to get the, we'd climb up the pole.
And yeah.
We'd put the rope up on the pole and they'd swing.
Swing them around.
And they'd swing. And they'd have the piggies where they kicked the a shoe polish box full of and they kicked that. And all that was going on. And
chalk the ground.
Yeah, and you know, I was just looking and thinking, there was very little obesity. Very, very little obesity.
Well, of course, there used to be, come in here, Johnny, your dinner's been poured out.
That's true, yeah. And that's it, you know. And like,
you'll take porridge and loika.
Your basic meals, you'd porridge, bread, potatoes. There was no fridge, there was nowhere to put, they used to put the milk into a sink in the summer.
Yeah, and put them all in one.
That's right.
And the fridge could be outside and a little box with a mesh in front of it.
Yeah, and like that's what you got. And if you were hungry, you went in and they gave you a bit of bread and jam and you went off again and played. And sometimes I know that the kids now, they're well protected and well, but I still think there's a lot of them, the childhood that was there when we were kids, like, and you had the woodlands beside us and You'd more freedom, and I know they're more safeguarded now with children, which is only right. But
I mean,
the freedom, and you just had all this freedom out, and you were out in the streets, and you were playing
until it was dark, and you were dried out.
You were taken in,
exhausted.
Yeah, and then you know there was things like I don't know if you remember that the gas collector, the fella collecting the money out of the gas meter.
That
was good cracking. There'd be miraculous medals and everything put in. You know, so yeah, they're all the things that I remember, you know, and they were great days.
Yeah.
But they weren't. Everything wasn't great, of course, you know.
No. Of course, Ireland was divided into three classes of people: us, them, and the others.
Yeah.
And there were people who were very well off in Ireland, and but of course we had scourges too then. Drink was one of the big scourges. Oscar Wilde said walk is the course of the drinking class.
You've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of
hardship was one of the things that I won't say drove people to drink, but it tended to move in that direction. To alleviate things, a few jars.
There's a lot of women left, you know, looking for their wages for Friday, and they weren't getting them.
The
boys weren't coming home. Yeah, yeah. That's true, you know. There was a lot of that.
It didn't happen. It happened in a lot of cases, but by and large, you know, families were generally well organised there was there was Monday night was a bad night, right? Tuesday night was something else, and Friday night of course was a pay night, and there might be a little something extra.
It was there.
I don't know about Saturday night, but Sunday night, well, Sunday of course you were dressed up to go to mass and you were bet down the street then the church had a huge influence at that time.
Massive, if you look back on, there's lots of things that I look back on. I remember going. We went up years and years ago. We were going up, and I was, me and another guy. We were only 14 and a half at the time. This is true. And we decided we'd join the British Army Cadets, and my mother knew nothing about it. And I don't know his mother knew either. So we went off and we were looking for references.
14 and a half.
And we actually went up to Belfast. And we did.
They took one look at you.
We did. We, and we, we, No, you could join a 14 and a half with parents' consent, yeah, to cadets. But then we went up to the priest's house for a reference.
Mm.
And I never forgot. He brought us into the house and I never seen a house like it before. It was fabulous. Because we were out there coming up from Ballygall Parade, you know.
Yeah.
And,
going,
and there was this carpets on the floor, television, and he had a record player. He had the top 10 on the record player.
Yeah.
And he was able to... And I was like, you know, I was looking at this at that time.
Well healed.
This is all wrong, you know. There's something not right here, you know. So anyway, I know we went up to Belfast and we'd done the test and both of us failed. And we came back down again because it was a massive written test and there was all sorts of things. But the lad I was with went back again and he joined and he never come home.
Did not?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And my mother went ballistic when she heard that I was up. She went up to the priest and everything. She was murder over it, you know.
Yeah.
The fact
and you were hiding for a week, were you?
14 and a half. Yeah. So that's how I suppose open everything was at the time.
Yeah.
You know. But
but this was the great adventure.
Mm, it certainly was. Yeah. So things like that. And I find that, like, there was a great camaraderie, especially among a gang of young fellas. Every gang of young fellas had a dog. You always had a dog in the, you know, someone always had a dog. And you
Bowser.
Yeah. And you had all that. And of course, you weren't aware of anything like paedophiles or anything like that. You know what I mean? You
never just heard of them.
No, you didn't even. And so, you know, I know it's very protective now and you have to protect children and rightly so. Jesus, rightly so.
Yeah.
But, like, I just see a lot of children that just don't seem to know how to play anymore. They don't seem to...
Well, physical activity.
No physical activity. Yeah. And
well,
and
it's just the mobile or texting and they all seem to... And they must have been born with the hand up to the rear. You know, and that's the amount of time that takes.
Yeah.
Now, there's some very good stuff on it, but there can be some lethal bloody stuff. I mean, lethal.
And that's the other thing that's happening now. You go anywhere now, and even down in DCU, we're starting to give out about it, people taking out their phones during a conversation. There'll be maybe four people at the table, two of them be playing with their phone. You know, and I know it's... And you come back now to manners. Like, where's manners in all this, you know? And that's a big change I found. There's no...
Civility, is that what you're...
It's unbelievable. Like, we were taught, like, you know, please and thank you.
Respect
was very important.
Your elders.
And old people.
Yeah.
I find there's very little respect now for old people. I find you don't see people standing up in the bus to let an old person sit down, or a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Or, you know... They don't hold doors anymore. They let the door slam in your face when you're welcome.
Mm.
And I don't... It's not their fault. Someone is not teaching them, as far as I'm concerned. You know, like, they just...
And, of course, the pace of life now is much quicker.
But, like, does it not come down from... Do you not think it comes down from generations? Like, you know, like, whatever I know, I'll teach my children. And I'm hoping and my children will teach their children.
But you would have been taught by... Your father and mother.
Yeah, and the Christian brothers as well.
Oh, well, we'll get to the Christian brothers. And the same thing with the grandfather and grandmother, and quite a lot of families, the grandfather maybe, or the grandmother lived with them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Maybe one had passed on.
That's my granny lived with her.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and lived there. And she was the backup.
Yeah.
And she put manners on you, I'm telling you.
My,
And, you know, she's the... And, of course... The grandparents look after the kids and that type of thing.
I remember,
picked them up from school when they were coming out and all this.
When my father died, I mean, we were still all very young, like, but if we got out of hand and say we're all broke out with one of the immigrants or something like that, my mother would run to get a brush. And boy, God, if you didn't get out of that room in time, you got it. I mean, you really did.
Super corporate punishment.
This is it, yeah. But now you can't even, you know.
Oh, you can't even. You can't even look crooked at them.
That's amazing.
I call child minder.
Yeah. And I notice that now in supermarkets or anywhere like that.
Yeah.
You see the mums and dads, they're worst, but they're the ones that's showing the kids that this, you know, you're looking at that, at their manners, and you're saying, you know, they'd run you over with the trolley somewhere, you know. And you're going, the kids are looking at all this and they're saying, well, that's okay, we can do that then. So
yeah, but of course, in your mother's time, there was no supermarkets. Yeah. And like you were saying, you were saying, they got in the bus.
That's
and
right.
And the single decker one at that,
that's
too.
That's right. They got on the bus and
then
and
they
into
town
to
and got the weekly shopping.
Yeah.
And everything was regimented at the same time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah,
and,
true.
Got the weekly show. And of course, when it came to Christmas time, the people would be saving the Tontine societies and church collection things and all sorts of things, but to collect up the few bob for the festive season.
Yeah,
and some people found it very, very hard to, you know. And there was always going in looking at the shops in town and to see what was in them.
That's it.
Swiss used to have always a magnificent display of bears or something.
There was on the keys there.
McBurney's,
that's right. They used to have big reindeer.
There are all sorts of things, but quite a lot of them are unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was always Clary's.
That's in Goinies downstairs, up the Goinies. Or I always remember the chutes where they put the money in.
Yeah.
And they. Fascinated watching
And
a woman to send back down the receipt and the change. That was all very good, you know.
And they always had the queues for Santa Claus. It'd be going around the block.
That's right,
But that day is long since gone. Yes, watch that on television now.
Mm.
And that would be a big day out. People would be looking forward to that for weeks ahead, you know. When are we going to Santa?
That's right.
And then the other big thing, are we going to a pantomime this year?
The pantomimes,
it'd be a shilling in or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. The Royal Theatre, the pantomime.
He's behind you.
Yeah, that's
Look
right.
Look out, he's behind you.
Do you remember a guy, was his name Tommy Dando? He used to come up with the
organ.
That's right,
That'd be the Royal.
Come up with the Royal, that's right, before they knocked it down.
That's gone about. We did a bit on it actually.
It was the
60s, the
early
something.
60s, that's right.
And what was the name of the little fella?
Mixer Reeves. He ended up on the building site there. as a nipper.
And there were Purcells, long,
no,
big song.
That's right,
and the Royalettes.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't think of the two ladies that taught them. Delgano was one, but I can't remember the other one. But sure, they lived in the place.
Yeah.
Practically lived in. They were rehearsing in the morning. There's a show in the afternoon. There's a show at night.
That's right.
And they'd be rehearsing the next week in the morning.
There wasn't when I was a teenager, even remembering, there wasn't a whole lot going on. If you didn't get the last bus home, you were knackered. There was nothing happened after 11 o'clock.
Oh, no, not at all,
Absolutely.
The pubs and all were closed.
That's right, everything, And then you'd run for the last bus, and hopefully, if you didn't get it, you were walking home. We'd walk home by Glasnevin Cemetery. There's just many a night I walked down,
And down the dip and up the hill.
That's right,
And of course, then there was the ballrooms.
That's right.
And the top end, of course, the Metropole and Clary. You want to be dressed with bow ties and tuxedos and all the end there. But then there was all the other ones.
We used to go to the National and the Crystal.
Other one I can't think of the name of now.
Yeah.
And then
Big Stampede.
Then all the parish halls had always had dances.
That's
some of them are Cayleys, of course. The girls with the big frilly dresses and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
They'd be doing themselves up all day.
You'd be all sitting down and you'd be
regimented.
No. You're getting up now.
That doesn't happen nowadays. And the bang bang music, you wouldn't know what the hell. Flanky blowers and the crystal and all that. And the ballerina, definitely. And the teachers. They're all coming,
the
just popping into my mind now at the moment. And the one, the other opposite side of the Parnell Square there. I can't think of it.
The O'Yarden was there as well.
And then there was one up the road Oh, there was plenty of them.
Yeah. But it's funny how like we didn't. I mean, I think the church had a big, huge input into what happened here in Dublin and in Ireland and.
In the latter years, all these reports of abuse. At the same time, I'd say that was going on in your mother's and father, but no way was it getting to the surface.
Well, it's only coming out now where the women were put into the Mary Magdalens and all. So they were all being abused and beaten up and everything else.
There's very few of them left. But
for no reason. Huh? Yeah, they've been put in there for no reason, half of them, you know.
If they were taught they were a bit soft in the head, as usual, or prone to be...
It's a terrible history how we treated women in this country.
Yeah.
You know, how the governments, the different governments just treated and, the church with them, you know.
The government used the Magdalen laundries for laundering all sorts of things, for the jails used to launder and all sorts of other institutions. Yeah.
Then you had the babies and the babies being sold to America and...
They did. No, we never sold them. Mm. We just got a nice bit of a contribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Always don't be selling babies.
4,000 quid you were getting for them.
It's not a slave society, you know.
So when you look back and you look at even women now today, even still looking for their rights, you know.
Yeah, well, that's about 40 and 50 years later. Yeah. Some of them with some success, but quite a lot of them with the records were just, if they were ever kept. And all you have to do is look at the mother and baby's home in Tuam. Mm.
Yeah. But when your man tried to bring in the mother and child at the pension, they crucified him as well, you know.
Like, that was in 1948, 49.
Yeah. And
actually, the church didn't get involved at the beginning of that. It was the medical crowd got involved.
That's right. Yeah. But McQuaid sent across the memo.
Oh, yeah. But then they got it.
Like they were doing all this. Mm-hmm. And then, there was nothing. If a man died or... The woman wasn't recognised then. She didn't have her name on the house. She didn't own. She owned the money.
That's one thing Charlie Haughey did.
That's right. He did.
Yeah. Inheritance law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the bus pass.
I use it, I know. We did a lot of other things, but we won't go into that.
Yeah.
But banning smoking and all sorts of bits and pieces.
That was good to pass smoking before. But when kids there was tragedies happened and there was no backup for kids. There was no, these people, the counsellors or anything, to help children.
There could be sent a lot of arcane around the corner. Because the mother might be eight or seven or six of them and just wouldn't be able to manage.
Sometimes it was taken out of hands. They weren't even given a choice. Taken from them, you know.
They were caught. Doing the right thing.
For the wrong reasons.
The heart was in the right place, but they didn't know what they were sending the people into.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
God. Desperate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they taught them whatever. There were people put into Magdalen homes whose aunts and all that thought, well, the best they get an education, and an education is right, and what's slavery?
Same with I knew lads who went to Artain.
Yeah.
They were put in Artain. I mean, there should have been some other sort of a system for children that didn't go to school, and that had to be a reason why they weren't going to school.
Playing truant. Nichen.
Yeah. Nitching, on the hop.
You'll end up in Artain, I'm telling you. Now, I'm afraid we've just nearly come to the end. But we've a minute or two to go, so we sort of rounded up. We went from DCU to taking on the clergy. The politicians got a bit of an easy ride to today.
They did, didn't they?
But we could be going on for this on that note, Tommy, I think we will just wind up, and I'll thank you for coming in, and you know, you give us an insight into the past, which not everybody would appreciate, but it is the past, and it is factual, and it is there, and that's the way things were, and at least, like in your mother and father's time, it contributed to the future.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
true.
In their own way.
They did,
in their own way,
they
you
did,
know.
Indeed.
And these values, we hope, will be passed on from generation to
generation.
Basic values, you know.
Yeah.
All sorts of systems will change, and all sorts of different, you know, all sorts of, we're just talking about the mobile phone.
Yeah.
Your mother would think you were gone mad if you mentioned a mobile phone.
Yeah.
And talking about phones, I think we have to leave now just at the moment, and I'd like to thank you for coming in.
Okay, thank you very much. It's great to be here.